Thank you for the opportunity to speak to the Commission hearing. My name is David Sampson, and my partner Kevin O'Loughlin is beside me here. We've lived together in Australia since 1990. We met in 1988 in the UK, and because at the time the UK didn't have any provision for same-sex relationship couples to live together in terms of the immigration laws, Kevin had to actually come back to Australia when his visa expired. So in 1990 I realised that I needed to be with Kevin full time and came out to Australia to live with him. We've lived together since then and spent probably two or three nights of these 16 years apart. And that's been for things like conferences, or occasionally I might have to work interstate. And apart from that, we've spent all that time together. All our financial arrangements are joint, our mortgage, our everything that we own is joint. And we started doing that, I suppose, to get through the maze of immigration legislation that meant that you had to be more of a couple than almost anyone else in Australia and prove it. So we've got box upon box of documentation, ranging from buying a pair of curtains and getting a receipt in joint names to the proof that on a flight from Melbourne to Cairns we actually sat together in the same seats, so the, you know, the boarding passes are all there. It's quite an amazing process we had to go through, but the result of that has been that we are now kind of more of a couple than most couples, I would imagine. We've got wills and powers of attorney and stuff like that that we've set up to both prove to immigration that we were a couple, but now we realise it's actually a good thing to have in terms of the lack of legislation that would otherwise protect us. So we've also got supportive families on both sides. My family are living in the UK and Kevin's family are here. And in fact, Kevin's the second youngest of six brothers and sisters, and our relationship, all of his brothers and sisters are in heterosexual relationships, and our relationship has actually outlived those of all his siblings, much to the surprise, I'm sure, of his mum and dad. But again, we feel that we're more of a couple than most, certainly in Kevin's family. So the reason that I made a submission to the Commission was the fact that I'm 59 and looking at retiring within the next year or so, and trying to set up provision to protect Kevin should I die before he does. So there's two aspects. One is my Australian superannuation fund, and the other is a British local government superannuation pension that I expect to be able to access next year. I'm with HESTA, which is the Health Employees Superannuation Trust of Australia, and they actually have a policy that is supportive of same-sex couples, and it seems that there would not be a problem, but it's still at their whim, if you like, that my superannuation automatically go to Kevin. It's been suggested that we actually take out something called a binding nomination election, that we would register with HESTA, and that would further make the superannuation fund inclined to accept Kevin as my dependent should I die first. But it's still not covered by legislation, so there's still an amount of nervousness about that should the management of HESTA change, or should other things in Australia change that would mean that the law is not there to protect us. Sure. Kevin's superannuation fund, I'm nominated as his preferred beneficiary, but his fund does not have any policy that particularly leans towards recognising same-sex couples. So if Kevin dies first, that's a battle that I would have to take up with them to get my rights, and that's a battle that, were I a woman, or were Kevin a woman, that I wouldn't have to look forward to. My British pension, things have actually changed since I made the submission to the Commission. I've discovered that the British government, and I've been told this by the British Embassy, and it's also on their website, will actually recognise our relationship if we take out a civil partnership under the Tasmanian legislation. So we've now got this absurd situation where a foreign government will accept me as Kevin's partner if our state government says so, even though our national government doesn't say so. So the British government's bypassing the national legislation, or lack of it, and that just seems a nonsense that you know, my government and Kevin's government will not recognise our relationship, but the British government's kind of saying, well, that doesn't matter as long as the state government does. So when I wrote the submission, I was annoyed that it seemed that Kevin and I would have to go to the UK or go to the UK embassy and take out a civil partnership agreement under British legislation. And that seemed an impost, particularly for Kevin, who's not a British citizen, to have to go through to get rights that we ought to expect our national government to give us. So now we don't actually have to do that. All we need to do is go across the road and register our partnership under Tasmanian law, and the British government will recognise that. I think it also makes a nonsense of the whole reason why I'm in this country, or the enabling legislation that got me here. The reason I came here was, and didn't stay in the UK and get Kevin to stay in the UK, was that there was legislation being brought forward, immigration legislation, that would allow us to stay in Australia and be recognised by the federal government immigration department, which they have done. So one part of the federal government in their immigration department recognises us and our relationship and has granted me permanent residence and now citizenship on the basis of that legislation. But another part of that same government won't recognise us for financial purposes, for tax purposes, for Medicare purposes, or for any other purposes. And in fact, the immigration legislation doesn't talk about same-sex relationships. It talks about relationships of emotional interdependence, because I think at the time it was a Labour government in power, and they felt that to talk about same-sex couples would bring up so much opposition in the community that the legislation might fail. So they kind of developed this terminology which could include other categories of people that weren't in same-sex relationships. So you know, the whole reason for me being here is the federal government's recognition of my relationship, but that's as far as it goes. So that seems a bit of nonsense too. Although it's not part of the Commission's areas of responsibility at this hearing, I just wanted to make a quick statement about the fact that there's lots of things that Kevin and I can't do together because of attitudes. For instance, if we go shopping in Coles, we can't touch each other or hold our hands. Well, we could, but we might get hassles or sniggers or other things that would just make that too unpleasant for us to consider. So we hold back. Now, that's not something that can be changed by legislation. But I think if the federal government were not, every time the issue of same-sex relationships came up, were not seen to be denigrating those relationships, if the churches weren't seen to be denigrating the relationships, then it would make the general public denigrating those relationships a bit less respectable. So I think gay and lesbian couples have got a right to expect the government to take a lead in these matters and be seen to be changing attitudes for the better for same-sex couples, rather than being seen by many people as an excuse for giving us a hard time. So thank you again for the opportunity to comment on these matters.
Thank you.
Do you want to say anything, Kevin? fine. Just you agree with me.
Thanks, David. I was just going to ask Kevin if you want to say anything. Can I ask you, as you said, you put a submission to the inquiry. Can I just ask you a couple of questions relating to that submission? Yep. Can you tell us in a little bit more detail what was involved in ensuring that your relationship was recognised through powers of attorney and making joint financial arrangements?
At the time we did it purely because the Immigration Department wanted us to.
Right.
Or we were involved in an organisation called GLITIF, which was Gay and Lesbian Immigration Task Force, and their advice was that you should build up a irrefutable case that no one looking at your financial and other arrangements could doubt that you were an interdependent, emotionally and financially interdependent couple. So we did that at the time purely because we felt we had to get what we wanted, which was me living in Australia with Kevin without the fear of being ejected.
Mm.
I suppose now we realise that it was actually a good thing to do because the legislation doesn't protect us without those documents. But at the time, we just did it because it seemed that we should, because the Immigration Department would look favourably on that.
Sure. Thank you. Can you clarify whether it's British law or Australian law that applies to the distribution of British superannuation fees?
I understand it's British law.
Right.
But when the money comes into Australia, then right. It will become an asset of mine, which will then be distributed to Kevin under Australian law. The British pension that I'm looking forward to comes in the form of a partial lump sum payment and an annual pension.
Yes.
So that's why it makes it more important for Kevin that once I access that pension, if I should die, heaven forbid, the year after I retire, then Kevin will get one year's worth of pension that's gone into our joint accounts. But after that, without this, without us having gone into a Tasmanian same-sex relationship,
civil partnership,
then Kevin would have had to fight for that, and whether he would have been successful, I don't know. And certainly under British law, we understand he will be successful if we have that Tasmanian civil partnership registered.
But now, as you say, you don't need to go back to the UK, as you indicated in your submission, because
it seems not.
Yes.
We're actually thinking of going back to the UK. That'll be the first time I've been back in 16 years next year, when I get my hands on my superannuation, we'll be able to afford it. And it might be at that time, just as a kind of double security blanket, if you like, that we might take out a British partnership as well, and a Dutch partnership, and anybody else's Canadian partnership, New Zealand partnership. Yep. Just because we don't have that legislative confidence in Australia, then I suppose you just want to cover yourself.
Yes, no, I understand.
With as many angles as possible. And it shouldn't be, like, we should not have to do all that stuff.
Thank you for sharing your story with the Commission's hearing today. Is there anything further that either of you would like to say before we...
No, thank you.
Well, thank you very much.